Okay, last week it was nothing but panic in the California Bay Area. Mass hysteria all over the place, from Vallejo to Fremont, from Stockton to Oakland, from San Francisco to San Jose. There was panic all over the place. Questions, doubts, concerns, all about the San Francisco 49ers after getting the shit beaten out of them by the Miami Dolphins 43-17 last Sunday. There were people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. There was mass suicides in Jack London Square. There was people drowning themselves in chocolate at Ghirardelli Square in San Francisco. Drug overdoses are overtaking coronavirus cases as the leading cause of death in San Francisco. And do you know why? Because the 49ers won a two-game losing streak. However, all is right in the world. What is up is now, what is down is now up. Everything now makes sense. Order has been restored. The 49ers have won a football game 24-16 over the LA Rams last Sunday night on NBC Sunday Night Football. Everything now makes sense. You can calm down, ease yourself. No need to be crestfallen anymore. The 49ers have won a football game. Great effort last Sunday. Team effort. Everyone contributed in that game. But the effort was led by head coach Kyle Shanahan, who out-schemed, out-coached Sean McVay for four quarters, all 60 minutes, put his team in a position to win. In particular, put his quarterback and offensive line in a position to win after they got their asses kicked by Miami last week. Questions, all the concerns, all the doubts last week. Kyle Shanahan, is he an offensive genius? Jimmy Garoppolo, is he a franchise quarterback? Robert Saleh, does he have a fucking clue on defense as a defensive coordinator? For 1 week anyway, all of that was put to bed. Came out, took care of business, division rival, home game, must-win situation. It sounds ridiculous to say that week six of the NFL football season is a must-win situation, but that it was. That was the situation last Sunday in Santa Clara. 0-3 at home at Levi's, 0-1 inside of the competitive division, the best division in pro football, and the 49ers answered the call and did what they had to do and won a football game to improve 3-3, 500, still in last place, but you're 500. You're still in this thing. It's not over. You ain't got to go into sell mode for the upcoming trade deadline. I want to start with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan answered the question of, is he a genius or is he overrated? He is a genius. He is fucking brilliant. What a masterful performance last Sunday in NFL football play calling. Offense one-on-one. Football for dummies. Classes in session. Instructor Shanahan. What a master class on offensive play calling. Jimmy Garoppolo, 23 of 33, 268 yards, but 223 of those yards were yards after the catch. Garoppolo's average depth of target was behind the line of scrimmage. Shovel passes, quick screens, end arounds, reverses, jet sweeps, all that on full display last Sunday. Kyle Shanahan emptied the clip to make his quarterback look better than what he actually is and to make his offensive line look better than what they actually are. Another question coming in the last Sunday night's game. What are they going to do with Aaron Donald? Can they contain the best defensive player in professional football, Aaron Donald? That question answered yes. Daniel Brunskill destroyed Aaron Donald throughout that game. He was a ghost. Aaron Donald was dressed in uniform on the field. They showed him several times throughout the broadcast. But if you look at the box score, it's almost like he didn't play, like he wasn't out there. You can thank Kyle Shanahan for that, and you can thank Daniel Brunskill for that. But the game plan made everything easy for Garoppolo and the offensive line. After that abysmal performance versus Miami last Sunday, where he threw for 77 yards on 7-17 passing, 2 interceptions, he looked like complete shit last Sunday versus the Dolphins. And you can blame the injury if you want. This is the NFL. Everyone's hurt. Everyone's banged up. Everyone's fighting through something. So I don't really want to talk about his injury. But we answered the bell last Sunday with Shanahan drawing up plays to put Garoppolo in a position to be successful and made him look better than what he actually is. I still saw some errant throws, still saw some accuracy issues, didn't see any throws outside the numbers, but we won the game. And his numbers looked good. He didn't fuck up. No turnovers, no mistakes. But once again, that's the head coach. The head coach taught Sean McVay another lesson. They also used to work together in Washington. Rams and 49ers pretty much have the same exact playbook, same exact offense. Shanahan showed McVay there's levels to this shit. When he wants to, when he's motivated, he can be everything as advertised. He's the boy wonder. He's the genius. He's the offensive guru in professional football, other than Andy Reid. When he gets in the groove, being a play caller is similar to playing any position on the field. You got to get in the groove and the rhythm, calling plays. Shanahan started the game in rhythm. That first drive was flawless. Utilized every single inch of grass on the football field and gained yardage. You got plays going to the left, to the right, up the middle, everywhere. In pace, in rhythm, great tempo. Took it right down the field, scored 7-0, set the tone for the rest of the game. Up 21-6, up 24-9, finished the game 24-16. Kyle Shanahan put on an exhibition last Sunday and showed the entire world, I still know how to do this shit. Don't you dare question me. Well, at least for another week anyway. Jimmy Garoppolo, as like I said, I still have my doubts. I still have my answers. I'm always will be highly critical of Garoppolo until he shows me. Otherwise, he managed the game last Sunday. He stuck to the game plan, stuck to the formula, didn't do anything outside of his skill set, did what he needed to do. However, when I watched that game, now I've watched the game twice, studied film on it. I look at it, I think to myself, why does Shanahan have to do all this work just to make his quarterback look somewhat competent? Why did this game plan have to be tailored so much to make this dude look like a serviceable NFL quarterback? He paid him $27 million, and the coach had to work that hard to make him look competent for one half anyway. Because San Francisco scored 21 points in the first half and 3 points in the second, held on to win. It was a great game plan, phenomenal game plan by Shanahan, but I don't think it's sustainable because it only worked for one half. It's tough to play football behind the line of scrimmage for 60 minutes, in and around the line of scrimmage. At some point, you got to throw it downfield against better football teams when the schedule really ramps up. You find yourself in a shootout with Seattle. You got to put it downfield. You got to put points on the board. You have to play all 100 yards long and all 53 yards wide. But it worked for one half, and he won the game. Raheem Mostert came out running hard. Raheem Mostert set the tone early, hitting the holes, bouncing it outside, taking screens. Deebo Samuel scored the opening touchdown in the game. Same thing, he also running hard, like his life was on the line that game. Same thing from Mostert. George Kittle, best offensive player on the field last Sunday night. 7 catches, caught a touchdown on the 4th-and-2. He was dynamite. He was incredible, as he usually is. He's George Kittle. He's the best tight end in pro football. Offensive line did a great job, but like I said, Shanahan set them up to do a great job because Jimmy never had the ball in his hands longer than 3 seconds. Jimmy got the ball out of his hands quick and neutralized Aaron Donald. Quick hitters, fast pace, short routes, curls, digs, screens, etc. Get the ball out of his hands and slow down that pass rush. Remember, a week prior versus Washington, they had 8 sacks. Aaron Donald had 4 of those sacks. So that was the concern coming into the game, is what is this pass rush going to do against this moribund, pitiful, garbage offensive line of the San Francisco 49ers that was eaten alive by Miami last week. Once again, Shanahan slowed him down. Defensively, Jason Verrett is a revelation. The comeback story of Jason Verrett. This guy's missed 2 consecutive seasons with an ACL, with a knee. Former All-Pro with the Chargers. No one ever questioned the talent or the ability. The question was the durability and the longevity of this football player. But when he's on the field, in uniform, and ready to play, ready to contribute, he's lights out. He's showing you right now, the past couple of games, when he's had his opportunity to play, he's showing you what he's capable of. Pro Football Focus had him graded as a 94 this week. Quarterbacks have a rating of 7.8 completion percentage when passes are thrown in Jason Verrett's direction. The play of the game, in my opinion, was the interception by Jason Verrett. Rams have the ball on the 2-yard line. Jared Goff drops back the pass. It's on 4th down. Lobs it to the back of the end zone. Mind you, Jason Verrett is covering, I want to say Robert Everett on that play. The ball's intended for Josh McReynolds. Verrett peels off of Robert Everett, retreats to the back of the end zone, intercepts the pass that was intended for McReynolds, turnover, 49er football. That was a pivotal play because if it was a turnover on downs, it would have been 1st and 10 at the 2-yard line. You back up in enemy territory against the goal line. Who knows what could happen? Safety, or you fumble it, you pick it off, and that was a touchdown for them. But that pick in the back of the end zone now gives you the ball at the 20-yard line, a touchback. Huge play by Jason Verrett. Emmanuel Mosley at the other corner, significant upgrade over Brian Allen. Once again, I'm not going to kill Brian Allen. He's a practice squad guy. I'm not going to rip him too much, but His performance last Sunday was trash. There's no other way to say it. He was awful. Touchdowns, pass interferences, big games given up. He's a practice squad guy. He's a practice squad guy for a reason. Emmanuel Moseley back off the injured list with a concussion. He had a concussion versus Jets a few weeks ago. Back on the field, he was lights out. Our corners really carried the water for this game because the pass rush was non-existent. Obviously, you're missing Nick Bosa. You're missing Solomon Thomas. D Ford still out with a dislocated vagina. Eric Armstead needs to step his game up. Where are you, 91? Put out an APB for this brother. Is he on a milk carton? Does Eric Armstead even play football anymore? Does he still exist? Is he a myth? He's like Sasquatch. Like, you've seen him, but you're not sure you actually did see him. You can't prove his existence. With the injuries to Bosa, Solomon Thomas, and D Ford, and the absence of DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead is imperative. Eric Armstead step his game up and be the leader of that defensive line. The news came out today that Ford will be out for 5 more weeks with that dislocated vagina. He's still on the injured list. Who knows if he'll ever play football this season? He barely played football last season. This guy is on vacation in Santa Clara for the 49ers. Paid vacation for D Ford. Just collecting the check. Ain't even got to show up at home chilling, watching the game on TV the same way I was. Getting paid for it, though. Salute to him. I can't knock the hustle. He's a grifter, in my opinion, though. I say that unapologetically. He's a grifter. Finessing the 49ers for millions of dollars. Where's your contribution at? That's beside the point. Eric Armstead, you are the healthiest guy on that defensive line. You are the best and most talented player on that defensive line. You got to get more pressure. Jared Goff had all day to throw. But fortunately, the guys in the back end, like I said, Verrett and Moseley, lights out. Shut down. Took the Rams receivers out of the game. Goff was 19-38 in that game. 50% completion percentage. That's terrible. Linebackers, also awesome. Fred Warner, the best defensive player on our team active right now with the absence of Bosa. Sideline to sideline, the second coming of Navarro Bowman. I don't want to call him Patrick Willis yet because that's almost sacrilege, that's blasphemous. But Fred Warner is incredible. Becoming an elite linebacker in this league. And the heart and soul of our defense. The most important player on our team, I would say, is Fred Warner. He's the most talented guy we have on defense. Dre Greenlaw played well. Kinlaw had a rough game up front. A couple penalties. I think he might have had like 1 or 2 tackles. He did have a tip ball on a pass that was thrown by Goff. That was his biggest contribution. But he's a rookie. He's raw. I think Kinlaw has the potential to be great. He's not there yet. But I think he has a chance to get there. But overall, and Deion Jordan with a blocked extra point early in the game. That's why the score was 24-16. It could have supposed to have been 24-17. The Rams scored a touchdown early in the game. And Deion Jordan was able to get a hand up and block the extra point. So instead of being 14-7, it was 14-6 at that point in the game. But a great play by him. A great team effort. Jamichael Hasty, third string running back, undrafted free agent, coming off the bench. Same thing, just like Mostert, running hard. Mostert, unfortunately, is out. He got hurt in this game with an ankle, so I don't think he'll play this week. He'll be out for a couple weeks. So he'll be out this week versus New England. In my opinion, Jamichael Hasty should get that start. With all due respect to Jet McKinnon, I love McKinnon. I'm rooting for that brother. Great story. You see him fight back from injuries. But because of those injuries, he appears to me to have lost a step. Back-to-back torn ACLs. I don't think Jet McKinnon should no longer even be called Jet McKinnon. He's small aircraft McKinnon, if you want to call him that. Commercial airline McKinnon. Spirit Airlines McKinnon. Nowhere near as fast as he used to be. E2C Hawkeye McKinnon. Helicopter McKinnon. Not as fast as he used to be. That burst, that explosion, that first step, gone. Still plays hard. Like I said, God bless him. Salute to that brother for fighting through the injuries, but he just ain't the player he used to be. This is not 2017 Jerick McKinnon. Jamichael Hasty, based on his youth and production I saw in the second half last week and the explosion, the burst I saw with him running hard in the second half to get some key first downs to keep the clock moving, to keep the Rams off our heels, to preserve the lead and win that game. Hasty was incredible in the second half of that game. I think he should get the start versus New England. I'm looking forward to seeing more from Jamichael Hasty. Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. Like I said, Kendrick Bourne had a few plays. We also had a few drops. I'd see him clean that up. McGlinchey played well this week. He and Trent Williams. Like I said, that I put that more on Kyle Shanahan than anything else. Because if you don't have to block that long, then you don't, that's less opportunity and less time for you to get exposed. I can't say enough about Kyle Shanahan. It was a beautiful, beautifully called game plan. Obviously, the players got to execute it, but the way he schemed everything up, the X's and O's of what Kyle brings to the table, he's a genius. He made everyone look better. He put everyone in a position to be successful. If you know your quarterback has trouble throwing it down the field and going through his progressions and anticipating guys getting open, if you know your offensive line has trouble blocking, put together an offensive game plan is going to help them out. It makes it easier for them, puts them in a position to be better than what they actually are. Coach did all that last Sunday. Big time win, big time performance from everybody involved. Everyone, like I said, great team effort. Everyone helped out. Everyone had a part in this. That's football right there. The greatest team sport in the world. The definition of a team sport. 11 men all making a key contribution to help out and win a football game. I want to project things forward to the game this Sunday versus the New England Patriots, taking a visit to Foxborough, Massachusetts to visit the greatest head coach in the history of pro football. Patriots coming off a loss last Sunday, 18-12. Versus the Denver Broncos. Phillip Lindsay had a big game on the ground last Sunday. Broncos defense answered the bell, but this, to me, is going to be a tougher game than people want to say it is. I think people look at the way that Patriots offense has performed or maybe not performed so much this season, the way they kind of take things for granted. A lot of fans, especially, I won't say especially 49er fans, but just fans in general, sports fans, always, to me, have a habit of looking at who's on their team and defining that as the reason why they should win this Sunday. They should just roll over the other team as if the other team isn't practicing. The other team doesn't study tape. As if the other guys don't put together a game plan, study tendencies and habits. I've heard a lot of 49er fans saying they should be the favorite. It should be an easy win. Patriots aren't as good as they used to be. Slow down, pump the brakes. This is going to be a tough game. Number one, you got to travel cross country to Foxborough from west to east. Number two, you're going against the greatest tactician in the history of the game, Bill Belichick, a guy who has inside intel on Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember, Garoppolo was drafted by the Patriots. Belichick traded him to San Francisco in 2017. But who do you think knows Jimmy Garoppolo better than Bill Belichick? Who knows his tendencies? Who knows his strengths? Who knows his weaknesses better than Coach Belichick? This guy has made a lifetime out of studying tape and figuring out how to neutralize a quarterback and take away their weaknesses, take away their strengths and emphasize their weaknesses as a defensive coordinator for the Giants back in the day and as a head coach for the Patriots now. The hoodie, believe me, right now is studying tape on how to take Garoppolo out. All those short, quick passes that you saw last week, like I said, only worked for a half. Is it sustainable? I don't think so. And in all reality, I see Belichick, if he hasn't already done so, sometime this week, will get on the phone with Brian Flores, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and ask him for some advice. Because the Dolphins came out of there 2 weeks off the 49ers. Brian Flores is a former defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. I have no doubts that Belichick has called Flores to get some inside information on how to stop the 49er offense. Or vice versa. It could have been Flores called him 2 weeks ago and asking Belichick, hey, how do I defend Garoppolo? What do you think I should do? You got any tips? Got some advice? Dolphins had a great game plan. Press man coverage at the line of scrimmage. Cover zero, cover one. Make the 49ers receivers try to beat you off the line of scrimmage. The strength of the 49ers receivers is yards after the catch. Like I said, last Sunday versus the Rams, they had 223 yards after the catch. 223 of Garoppolo's 268 was yards after the catch. You negate that by jamming these guys in the line of scrimmage, disrupting the routes, disrupting the timing, making Garoppolo hold the ball, go through his progressions, go through his reads. The longer he holds the ball, the longer the offensive line is to block, and the longer and the more Jimmy Garoppolo is likely to panic. I've seen this before. I've seen it all season, saw it last season. The longer he holds the ball, the more likely he is to panic. If I know that, I'm sure Bill Belichick knows that. So I expect to see an exact replica of the Miami Dolphins game plan from 2 weeks ago. We're going to jam these dudes at the line of scrimmage, disrupt their routes, disrupt the timing, and make Jimmy go through his reads and progressions and figure out who's open. And we're going to send pressure. Jimmy don't handle pressure that well. You don't have Mostert this week. It's going to be tough for getting the running game going. Like I said, I think Hasty should get the start, though. But then again, I look at New England, I saw the amount of yards that Philip Lindsay got last week, and it's like, okay, there's something there. They don't have a lot of big people up front. They had Chase Winovich playing the three technique last week, playing nose tackle, basically. Chase Winovich is an outside linebacker. He's not 300 pounds. The Patriots are a little bit light up front. You know, it's not like the old days when they had Vince Wilfork playing the three technique, playing nose tackle for them. They're a little light up front now. So the running game should be the focus this week. Just run between the tackles. Garoppolo should have, I say, between 20 to 25 pass attempts this week. I think it'd be run first, run second, and run some more. This week, to me, should be the game plan. Defensively, there's no one in New England's roster that scares you. Kill Harry, to me, hasn't developed yet. Edelman might be on the downside of his career. And Cam Newton, can Cam Newton even throw it downfield anymore? When I watch the Patriots play, I look at Cam Newton, it looks like it hurts to throw a football for Cam Newton. He appears to be in pain trying to throw a football. That shoulder is fucked up. And the Patriots passing game hasn't gained any traction yet this year. Cam Newton on the season is 79 of 116, 871 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. Cam Newton is also the leading rusher for the New England Patriots. 45 carries, 225 yards, 5 touchdowns. These are not impressive numbers. This is not an impressive offense. If I had to make a prediction for this game, I would say San Francisco 20, New England 18. 49ers 20, Patriots 18. That's my prediction for the game this week. I think the 49ers can win this game. I think they should win this game. I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park. I don't anticipate the Patriots just rolling over and playing dead. But it's going to be a win nonetheless, I think, for the 49ers. Wishful thinking. It's going to be tough going forward, though. I've already talked about how tough the schedule is. It's not just the teams that they're playing. It's the travel that's going into this and the circumstances and the positioning, the scheduling of these games. You play New England this Sunday. Travel cross-country from Santa Clara to Foxborough to play that game. Then travel back cross-country to play Seattle, our arch-nemesis, our division rival, the following Sunday. Then a few days later on Thursday Night Football, you play the Green Bay Packers. Everyone knows a 49ers Seahawks game is usually a physical, intense, competitive, knockdown, drag-out type of game. So to come off that and a few days later play against Green Bay, the schedule makers told the 49ers, we don't fuck with y'all. That's a tough schedule. And it's going to be incumbent upon Kyle and Robert Saleh. I got to give some credit to Robert Saleh. He mixed things up a little bit last Sunday versus the Rams. It wasn't so much as sitting back in cover three. There were some blitzes. There were some different looks. He just did a much better job of disguising coverage than he did versus Miami following the previous week. Robert Saleh stepped his game up. I need a repeat performance of that this Sunday. Another thing to look for this Sunday, like I said, Cam's their leading rusher. San Francisco is notoriously bad at defending mobile quarterbacks. Saw that in week one versus Kyler Murray. Saw that versus Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. Able to scramble, get out the pocket, extend drives, pick up first downs, make plays, keep the chains moving. Cam Newton is a better runner than he is a passer. So once again, I'm asking Eric Armstead, where are you? Do you have a pulse? Are you okay? You got to step your game up, brother. Set the edge, keep the quarterback in the pocket. That's not just Armstead's responsibility, it's everybody, but Eric Armstead's going to be that guy. They chose him over DeForest Buckner. I need Armstead to step his game up. And to me, it starts this Sunday. Keep Cam Newton in the pocket. Make Cam Newton a pocket passer. Because if Cam Newton is just a pocket passer, the 49ers are going to win this game. But if Cam Newton can get outside the pocket and make plays with his legs, they have a shot. So it's going to be, once again, incumbent upon Saleh to put guys in position to be successful. But Eric Armstead, play to your talent. I would never question his talent. I would just question his playmaking ability. He has a tendency to get to the quarterback but not finish the play. So that would be helpful if he could actually complete the sack and finish the plays from now, from this point going forward. So, to recap, 49ers 24-16 over the Rams, NBC Sunday Night Football. Big win, much needed win, very necessary. Finally get a division win, finally get a home win. Keep pacing our division. Answer some of the questions for this week. For now, Kyle Shanahan's still a genius. Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have to worry about Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins being traded out here to take his job, for now anyway. And Robert Saleh showed he's, in fact, a competent defensive coordinator, for this week anyway. So, 49ers win. I'm happy, as always, whenever the 49ers win. Thank you for listening to the Deion Gordon Podcast. Picture me rolling. I'm out.